The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Residents in the Dublin 6 area have objected to a proposed tennis dome at the exclusive Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club, describing it as a colossal glowing orb and saying it'll lower the value of their homes. We're joined by Robin Mandel, architect, former president of the Royal Institute of Ireland and former chair of the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance. Robin, is this just good old-fashioned nimbyism, or do the residents of Dublin 6 who live close to Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club have a point?
I think that they have a point, but the way that the system works is that they make their observation to the planning authority, and the planners decide whether they've got a case or not, depending on the development plan. So I think that the sort of the narrative is phrased in such a way that these are NIMBYs, which is a term I certainly dislike. It's sort of quite disrespectful. But it the power of, as people call them, the NIMBYs, is grossly overestimated. You know, any person can make an observation on a planning application, and it's dealt with as any other one is.
It does slow it down, though, doesn't it? It can slow the process down.
Not at all. In the first instance, at the local authority level, the local authority has to make its decision within 8 weeks.
It does.
So it's irrelevant.
Robin, I don't think the residents are going to leave it there if this is given plan permission. They are inevitably going to appeal it to on Commission Planála. And then they also potentially might take a legal challenge, which does delay these things.
Absolutely. You know, that certainly could happen. I think in this case, it's probably unlikely. But you never know. And in terms of the appeal process, again, that under the new legislation, that's much faster than it used to be. And people were very often blamed for the delays within the system rather than the actual speed with which decisions were made. In terms of judicial review, the current the government have changed rules, which I think are fundamentally wrong, actually, but that's neither here nor there. It will make it virtually impossible for anybody except the very wealthy or the very poor to take judicial reviews. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. And if you look at the recent history of judicial reviews, they have dropped dramatically. So I don't think that, you know, that's really relevant at this stage.
Okay. Just before, and I do appreciate you widening it out, just before we broaden it out even further, I had a chance to very briefly look at the drawings for this colossal glowing orb, as the opposition call it, or the opponents to it call it. It's basically a tent that's going to be up for 9 months of the year to allow people to play in the rain. It's about 10 metres at its highest point, 10 metres high. It does seem relatively well set back from the surrounding houses. Have you a view on whether it should be granted plan permission? Have you had a chance to look at it in detail?
I haven't, but I have been aware of fairly recent developments at Fitzwilliam where they added two floors on what used to be the public viewing platform, at least the public in terms of their members. And that did have quite a serious impact on the houses across the road. But, you know, you live in a city, and you know, you have to expect some sort of leeway in terms of the social uses and the private uses. I think the issue in a way with Fitzwilliam, which you know, it's probably broadening this out too much, but it is a private members only club that is very expensive, and that kind of sometimes rubs people up the wrong way. It shouldn't. And as you say, you've had a look at the drawings. The planners will do exactly the same, and they will make the decision as to whether it's proper planning and sustainable development.
Okay. I mean, there's lots of examples of opposition. I mean, there's a story breaking today. Ali Hewson, the wife of Bono, and other residents of Killiney opposing plans for a luxury residential scheme in the area. Hewson, one of 21 parties to lodge submissions with Dunleary-Rathdown County Council concerning plans to build a 32-unit apartment scheme in the heart of Killiney Village in the grounds of Montebello House. Like, I suppose there is a view out there, And again, I haven't seen the plans for this, so maybe they have a reason to object. But it does seem that every time there's a development, and we need more housing, we need more infrastructure, we need water treatment plants, we need more apartments, yet every time we try and build them, there is opposition.
Yeah, I mean, that one, again, is quite an interesting one. I think I would sort of try to correct you a little bit on most planning applications do get through. The number that end up in the board or indeed in judicial review are very, very small. So the narrative that everything is blocked is simply not true. So
yeah, but are most of those extensions, small extensions, do most major developments, most major apartment developments, not end up getting objected to?
No, is the short answer. They certainly might get observations. Some of them may end up in appeal. But the vast majority, I mean, even at the moment, you know, they're within the Dublin area, there are 40,000 permissions unused. You know, they got through the system. But to focus back on the question you asked on the Killiney one, again, that's slightly more complex, because as part of a government directive under Section 28, Dunleary Rathdown were forced to change the development plan. In the previous development plan, there were areas along the Vico Road where you couldn't build new buildings. It was what they called a 0-0 zoning, so you could only add to what was there. That was changed under ministerial directives. So this is a site on, you know, an extraordinarily beautiful piece of landscape that, you know, may or may not be suitable. I don't know, but the background of it is that it was never meant to be built on, and it was only in the last development plan that the minister insisted that zoning be removed. So, you know, it's kind of centralized planning versus local planning. And again, just to make the point, the planners will take into consideration their views, but they will make their choice and their decision based on the proper planning and sustainable development of the area.
They will. But ultimately, and again, I come back to this point, the wealthier the area, A, probably the more likely there'll be an objection, and B, the more likely that objection will then run on Commission Planála and ultimately the High Court.
I can't disagree with you in that, in terms of the wealthier the area, absolutely. And it shouldn't be so. I'll give you an example of one where we were involved with. I live in one of those relatively wealthy areas, and a local rugby grounds where, this was years ago, wanted to put up lights. And a lot of people in the resident association were opposed to it. But we made the point, I mean, as chair of the association, I made the point, look, we live in a city. You know, you've got to accept some inconvenience to have the facility of a rugby ground beside you.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that there is always a balance. And you are right. I mean, you know, money always talks. It may not end up being listened to, but it does talk. But the planning system is it's stated generally, or it's generally conceived to be broken. It actually isn't really broken. It's only broken insofar as planning decisions sometimes are forced by central government that simply are wrong for the areas. That's another very long debate, which, you know, we probably shouldn't get into. But the basic premise of planning on a development plan is perfectly workable and works most of the time.
You don't have a right to a view, do you? I mean, in some of these cases, I wonder how much of it is about a view as much as anything else. In planning terms, I think I'm right in saying you don't have a right to a view.
You don't have a right to a view. The only views that are protected are those that are protected within a development plan. So along the left-hand side of the Vico Road, as from memory, that's a protected view. There are protected views, but an individual is not entitled to a view. Absolutely not.
So your contention is the balance isn't necessarily wrong at the moment. There has been an issue, I think everybody would agree with, in terms of resources for the old on board Planála. Now, apparently, the commission on the new on commission Planála has a lot more resources coming to it. But your argument is we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We can't deny people the right to object, even if we might disagree with the reasons for their objections.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, the power of the objection is really quite limited in terms of the original decision. Certainly in terms of time, it has no impact on the original decision. It can be taken further. But that's the way the planning system works. It is a socially based agreement. You know, there is a social contract between development and amenity and sustainability. And of course, in these days, in climate, which is probably the most crucial one. So, you know, there is all a balance. And this notion that NIMBYism somehow is a really evil thing is just wrong. I mean, NIMBYism is blamed generally by people who...
Yeah, I know the point you're making, Robin, but there probably isn't enough people like you that says, lads, we live in an urban area, we live in a city area, you know, we can't really object to that. There probably isn't enough people who do that. There's a lot of people whose instinct is to say, no, we don't want that here.
Yeah, again, that isn't my experience.
Was it not your experience with the rugby club that you had to persuade a lot of your neighbours that actually, you know what, this is fair enough?
It was, but they were persuaded.
Yeah.
You know, the real problems in the planning system come from unexpected planning applications and unexpected decisions, where people simply are not brought into the equation. You know, that's where the real nub of any of the problems are. You know, the planning system would be absolutely perfect if it were certain. You know, so if you knew that the site next door to you was zoned for this and that was going to happen. But what actually happens is that the planning system is open to any application anywhere, basically.
It is.
That's where the problems start, really.
Okay, Robin, thanks for talking to us. Very interesting. Robin Mandel there, architect, former president of the Royal Institute of Ireland and former chair of the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
What do you make of it?
I think this will be granted permission. So,
I think we are unbelievable when it comes to NIMBYism. I think we moan on about the housing crisis, and then when anyone wants to build anything near our own backyard, as it were, we object in our droves to things. And
I'd go half the road with you. I think Robin is right. I think sometimes there are legitimate reasons to object, and we can't deny people that right. Sometimes it is just about not wanting anything.
I often think when I hear from planners or from architects that they are happy enough with the system that exists currently. They often are quite supportive of it and explain why it's actually working for us, but I don't actually believe that it is working for us. I think in the situation we find ourselves, major housing crisis, we need to build. And I also think that...
Without any standards, without any planning?
Didn't say without any standards, but I actually think our planning is too restrictive. And I also think that we constantly object to infrastructure and facilities as well, even in our own communities. There's something nuts about it.
Yeah, but the planning system should work and work more efficiently and work quicker. Like you can't stop people. You can't deny people a right to express their views.
I know that bit of Killiney reasonably well, the 32 units. That area could easily accommodate more. It has really, really low density housing because the houses are big and the gardens are big and the people who live there are wealthy. And that's what this is about. They don't want more people in their area. And we are in a housing crisis and the haves don't care about the have-nots.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.